What's up and welcome to the Cinepax podcast. This is episode 38 and I'm your host Tyler Casey. If this is your first time listening, here I sit down with other creatives. We get some insight on their process and how they came up in their specific field. In this episode, I sit down with music video director Damian Sandoval. If you guys do not know Damian Sandoval, he's a music video director. He's also a Riveting Entertainment director. They release some of the most popular music videos out right now. If you're looking to get into music videos, this is definitely a really good episode for you. Damian dropped some really good tips on writing music video treatments, on how he came up in the game. He also tells the story of when he got to LA, how he kind of climbed up the rank, how he got some pretty big gigs right out the gate. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave us a review on iTunes. We don't have a sponsor for this podcast, so if you do want to help us out, make sure to go check out our website, cinepax.com. We have tons of free and paid effects over there for you guys that you can download and use in any project. Here's episode 38 with Damian Sandoval. Hope you guys enjoy. All right, what's up, Damian?
Hey, what's up, my G? How are you?
Doing good, man. Your background's crazy right now. For you guys just listening, Damian's got the skyline of Los Angeles behind him. It's looking wild. He looks like he's using a Zoom background, but it's not. It's straight up. It looks like one of the stock Zoom backgrounds, but nah, it's crazy.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. It's great to be here, dog. You know, we're here in LA. We're living the filmmaker's dream and shit, dog. Like, we're in quarantine and I finally had time to do this and it's been long overdue, bro.
It's been a minute, yeah.
So let's get it, dog.
Sick, dude. So what have you been up to? Obviously, you're trying to get outside because of quarantine and all that. I've seen you've been still knocking out some shoots, but how's it been for you?
It's been good, man. You know, I've had a lot of opportunity, which is crazy. Like, with the whole fucking quarantine thing, it put everyone kind of on hold and everyone's just like, but I feel like the filmmaker world, the demand for that is kind of more there because everyone's just streaming and shit's just moving through the phone, through the Netflix, through all over the internet.
Exactly.
So I feel like there is the demand there and all the big production companies are on hold right now. So, you know, I recently just signed with Riveting. Love that company. Been a dream company of mine since I started my journey. And now I'm working there. I got a really good relationship with the whole team and they're on hold. And it's like, man, we have big videos. So, you know, we were awarded the Wiz Khalifa new single. You know, I just did his one contact with Tyga, smash video, went really well. And just wrote on his new one, Still Wiz. And I don't know if it was because contact did so well that they kind of leaned towards my treatment. It was a little more out the box and different than what I normally do. And they awarded me it, and now it's just like, we can't do it because everything's on hold. Yeah. Film LA, all the major things. So, you know, it kind of sucks on that note, but I'm still doing smaller projects as well.
Just keep staying
artsy, dog, and rolling with what's cracking. So.
For the people who don't know, the beginners out there, let them know what Riveting is for the people who don't know.
Oh, Riveting's a major production company. They've done some of the biggest records. They have great relationships with artists, and they're just a production company that is like the gold standard for music videos. It just, every video, it has to look, it has to feel, it has to shine, and that's, everything's a polished look coming out of Riveting. There's never a bad video. Andrew wouldn't let that come out. And who's the CEO? Shout out my guy Scott. Shout out Kevin Boston. Shout out the whole team over there who really grinds to make sure every video has that gold standard stamp. So they're just a really good production company. You know, one of the greatest, you know, directors come from there, you know. And it's just a pleasure to be associated with that name, especially coming up, you know, for any young, hungry filmmaker that going out there by yourself, having to hustle and feeling like you're all alone in this war, like, you know what I'm saying? Just grind through it, doggy. And, bro, like, I made it happen, dog. Like, anyone can make it happen. So just keep grinding. Yeah. That's all I can really tell
you. If you guys haven't seen Riveting, definitely check it out. They have tons of, like, awesome YouTube content, behind the scenes, all that. And just their music videos in general are just fire. You've definitely seen a Riveting music video if you feel like you haven't heard of them, but you've most likely heard of them. But so let's get into the background of Damian Sandoval because we've seen it on your Instagram. You post, you say you were working it wasn't 9 to 5. You said it was crazy hour job at FedEx. And you say you were going to junior college. You were kind of struggling. And then you said you kind of switched everything up. So tell me a little bit about that struggle and how this all kind of got its start.
Well, you know, I've always wanted to hustle. I was always that kid, you know, saving my lunch money I got as a kid. You know, I was always that kid who liked to dabble with money. And I understood money can give you power to make things happen. So growing up, I've always kind of been like that kid who likes playing Monopoly or like Roller Coaster Tycoon building shit. Like, I've always been that artsy kid. But the way I got into the film game, I was actually producing music. It's like, shit, man, I need videos for this music I'm producing. Mm-hmm. Started filming a bunch of other people, like, just for free, like homies and shit.
And this is in the Bay Area?
It's in the Bay Area. It's back in Oakland, shooting like the local D-boys, you know, straight off the block for like $200, pulling up to the hood, like in like a dangerous ass area.
What year was this?
In Oakland, shit. It's gotta be 2007, dog. Around there, 2007, 2006. You know, shit, I was shooting on a fucking camcorder from fucking Best Buy that was this size. This was when HD first kind of just popped out.
Yep.
Like, the hot camera at the time was like a Red One or like mm-hmm. a can, like the professional up and comer, like, kids had the 5D.
The 5D was like,
oh, got the 5D. Like, shit, it was just crisp. So I had the $200 fucking like camera from Best Buy. It looked like a cell phone, no shit. And I was killing it on that, dog. Like, I understood coloring. I was like, you just gotta color these videos. Like, that will make mm-hmm. shit. So I always, like, my style still to this day, very vibrant, saturation, high contrast, make the colors pop. Like, that's been my style ever since I first started doing videos. I just did that. I think I was editing on like Sony Vegas or like some wild weird shit, bro, that I like was just crazy, hella easy, hella user friendly. So it made it real, like, I was like, wait, I could do this.
Yeah.
So I started doing it, and I started getting a little bit of money, the 200s. Like, I started hella small, the 300s. It was a hobby. Like, I was still trying to make other plays on the side, working here, working there, hustling here, hustling there, just whatever I could do. And when I started realizing I could get paid to create art, bro, that was when, like the little fucking thing just went off in my head, like, ding, 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 ding. And I was like, oh, this is, like, okay, now I just got to learn how to become the best.
Yeah.
And so I studied, man. I started, like, really, like, looking at shit different. The world, it changed my life. Like, I look at the world so different now, dog. Like, everything's like a picture frame, where I'd be like, how do I light this? Or it's just weird how my mind is now. But back then, it wasn't like that. So I came up doing all these little rinky-dink videos. But they were cool because, you know, fucking people paid me to do them. So,
yeah.
I finally had enough dough stacked. Said, I'm going to L.A. Went to L.A. with the 5D. Was trying to make it shake and move with the 5D. This is 2000, I want to say 13. Mm-hmm. It's like 5 or 6 years later after I started. Get to L.A. with the 5D. It's not really shaking and moving how I want to out here. And I just was like, fuck it, man. I'm buying the red. Like, I just went all in. I was like, this is a power play, like, F film school. I had like 30 or 40 G stacked at the time. Bought the red, all in. And to any young filmmaker, I'm going to tell you, this is a real secret. And I honestly am coming out with the online film school, and this is one point in it, but I'm going to drop it here. A free gem for you on your podcast, bro.
Just for the
culture and everyone who's, like, really listening, who's still listening.
Sir.
So the way I was able to learn a lot of shit was having this crazy piece of equipment that I would rent out for hella below the price. Sorry if you hear the sirens, bro.
It's
downtown LA.
So it's gems.
yeah. So check this out. The red at the time to rent, I believe, was like $1,200 or $1,300, and you needed insurance. Bro, I had that thing on Craigslist for $400, bro.
Oh, man.
Yes, doggy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So my connection started becoming crazy because I would go out. I'd work these two-day, three-day shoots, being on these shoots and, like, just sitting there observing everything. The lighting guy asking questions. Hey, how do you do this? Like, what's this for? Like, you know, how do you rig this up? Like, just learning everything. Mm-hmm. Like, talent. Every role I was watching and, like, learning. And that piece of equipment got me on to all these sets, which, like, was my film school. So I, like, had a nice, like, little jump once I bought that red, and then on top of that I had the red to, like, practice on. So I was getting hired for gigs that I was not qualified for at all. I just had the right camera.
Getting flown
out to Miami, dog, to shoot for Pink Dolphin. Like Pink Dolphin, they weren't like, oh, his videos are cool. Like, nah, they were like, oh, that fool has the red. Like, we'll get an editor. Let's shoot on that camera. So having that new piece of equipment, to any young filmmaker out there, whether you're in New York, Atlanta, Miami, wherever you're at, like if you have a really unique piece of equipment that you could come out for the low and make any young filmmaker or OG filmmaker look good, bro, you're gonna be fucking booked at least 3 to 4 times a fucking month. Like, that's just free game, dog. Like, that's a great investment. If you got a set of Astera lights, I go on and on.
Yeah.
I love LA, bro. Look at
it's
this
getting
shit.
Crazy.
Bro, it's getting crazy. You got
a little exclusive.
You got the helicopter, you got the sirens.
That's fire. Yeah, no, I think that's definitely some good advice, because if you do have that money and you have grinded, obviously you got to grind first. You obviously had some background. You don't, like, people shouldn't take that advice and be like, first camera, I'm copping a red, you know, like definitely like rock out with the DSLR a little bit. See if this is your passion. Yeah. But then once you get to that point and you got some bread stacked, you can definitely see what's in your area, check on ShareGrid and all that stuff. And if you have something that you see that's new, like a new type of lens or new something, and you cop that, you can definitely leverage that out. And I think that's some really fire advice, because going on and DPing, or you really just like, hey, I'll pull up and like let you guys use my camera, and you're just soaking up game?
Oh, there was times I was full on directing, like everything. Like I was DPing, I played any role. Like I was so eager just to make money and be a part of something dope. Like I would play any role you needed me to. So that's why, you know, I really understand having the versatile like background of being a fucking director, being a DP. Like sometimes I have to tell my DPs how to shoot, because they don't understand, like, you know, shooting underneath when the girl's a little bit more overweight, she's not gonna like that shot because you're seeing her chin. You have to shoot down on bigger girls. You know what I'm saying? There's just different ways and angles to shoot people that I've learned over the years of just sending them the final edit, and they're like, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. And it just clicks in my head and I pay attention. Okay, they don't like when, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm so experienced in shooting. Like I prefer sometimes to like shoot my own shit, but I do got some fire ass DPs too though. So.
Yeah. What's one of the DPs you work with? I see you work with BP a lot.
Yeah. BB's my ace, dog. BB's like, he just understands like hospitality, which is a big part of what's going on. Like, you have to be a cool motherfucker to retain your clients. Like I had worked with a few DPs where their vibes all fucked up and they like pissed the artist off. One time an artist was like, yo, your DP's acting like a diva. Like, and when the artist tells you that, you're like, okay, I'll never work with this guy again. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have those people who make working fun. And BB's like, he's just, you know, he's that guy, dog. Like he's a legend, bro. I'll get him on this podcast, bro. He's dope. Bro.
That'd be fire. Yeah. That'd definitely be dope. Yeah, that's sick. My boy. Yeah. Definitely. I think if an artist is telling you that your DP's a diva, there might be something wrong. Cause most of the time the artists, I'm sure you know the artist.
Yeah, but there's some really good DPs, you know, who I watch and who I would love to work with and grow with. Like, I'm writing a movie right now. And like, one thing I want to do is I want to have an ASC, like certified DP shoot it. Like, I don't care about anything else. I just want to fire DP to shoot it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's dope. Cool. So, once you got the red, what were some other ways that you kind of continued to come up and level up when you started working with labels? One thing that I see you do a lot is you write a lot of treatments, and you're always on your story talking about your treatments. And I think a lot of people have a lot of questions about that. I know you got a course coming out, but if you could drop a few little gems. I'm definitely going to link your Instagram, your website down below in the show notes. Especially in the what's it called? We post our podcast. We do like a whole little written description on the Cinepax website, so you'll be all linked up.
Well, with the treatments, man, I'm just a storyteller, dog. I love, like, I've been through so much. I see things through. I told you my eyes, dog. They're lenses now, dog. So, like, everything I'm peeping is like a color scheme, a story, an inspiration. And so I love writing these treatments, dog, especially ones that are different. So writing the treatments, like, that just comes with, like, listening to the song. Like, oh, you hear about this, you hear about that. You write, like, okay, this would be cool. Like, car shot, like, all that. But sometimes I just like to write treatments without even having a record. And I'll just put those treatments in a special folder. And then when I get that label brief for like, oh, the this so-and-so with the big budget, like what are your visions? Usually that folder, they get sent back with all the other 20 directors who are writing on it, like, or writing that simple shit. It's those ones that are out the box that are really gonna make people be like, I fuck with that. Let's try that. Because I've done all the normal shit. Like, let's try something different. And people are all about experimenting, especially artists. So treatment writing, just don't write to the song, dog. You gotta write on your days off, and you gotta be inspired, and you gotta fucking just have a creative mind, dog. Try to think. So I got some cold ones.
What's up?
I got some cold ones. I just wrote some new ones over this quarantine while we've been chilling. So these artists who I work with next, it's gonna be a whole nother game.
What are some common misconceptions when young filmmakers have when writing their first treatments? Like, what do you think something they may not grasp or
ask? So I got a funny story to tell you. So check this out. So when I first got the Red, I got lucky, like through a homie who owns Pink Dolphin. His name's Nima. He owns Pink Dolphin. He was managing this artist at the time named Pia Mia. She's dumb popping. Super dope artist. I got the video just because I had the Red. I've never done any like music video that was significantly known or anything. And this was her debut video. Mm-hmm. And I did it just because I had the Red. Video comes out. Bro, I had like three or four different like submissions from these like head video reps and like people who owned production companies. Like, hey, like I searched you. I don't see any of your work. Like, who are you? Are you interested in like signing with us? So there was this company out of Toronto. I forget who they were, but I looked, they did like weekend videos. They did like big shit, like shit, like really big shit. And the guy had me write a treatment. He was like, here, he sent me a brief for Madison Bear, $50,000 in New York. I'm like, holy shit, bro. I didn't even know a budget like this existed. So 50K, this is like 2013, 2014, I want to say. And I listened to the song. The song's called Unbreakable. And I'm like, shit, I've never written a treatment a day in my life, dog. I had no idea what a treatment what even was. I just went and I went on like Word Doc and I typed up like, so I think this is gonna be that with like a whole like just typed up thing. And I send it back to him hella excited. Like it was this dope ass idea. Like she's gonna be in a glass box and people are gonna be throwing like hella shit at the box. And the box is made of like bulletproof glass. So shit's like kind of breaking, but it's not fully breaking. But I wrote it up. And the guy immediately hits me back. He's like, what's your number? And I give him my number and he calls me. He's like, bro, do you know how to write a treatment? What is this? And like kind of went in on me. And I was like, I thought this was a treatment. He was like, no, let me send you one. And he sent me one. I saw this. It was like walking into heaven. It was like, like calling my name, bro. Like the most nicest pictures, like the fucking shit, just the best font. Like, I was like, what is this? Holy shit. Yeah. This is how they send ideas. And right then and there, I linked up with these kids. They went to USC film school. And, I was like, yo, how much would it cost to make these? And at the time, the kids were like $100. They were young, like hungry kids from USC film school. And so I was like, all right, come to my house. I want you guys to make two of them. They came through. We turned up a little bit on the drink. And I kind of was just, they were hella cool. They were like, let me just teach you. Like, let me just show you how to do this. They were hella cool.
Yep.
And showed me how to do it. And right then and there, the whole game changed. And that's where I really leveled up, was once I started learning how to write the proper treatments in the proper way, in the proper font. And a lot of, to a note, just for you young filmmakers, there's no need to write a whole paragraph. Like, these artists, they don't really care. They want to see a good reference image, and they want to see three or four lines that they could, like, their mind will just snap onto. If it doesn't grab them in four lines, don't waste your fucking time.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, no, that's definitely a crazy story. How you just knocked it out in like Word Doc or whatever. That's
so funny. Homie from the film production company, like he was like, yeah, bro, like once you learn how to do this, hit me back. But by that time I was already moving so fast, I was like, fuck that guy. Like, I wish I still didn't know his info though. They were doing some dope shit.
That's tight. Yeah, that's definitely fire. So one of the so fast forward a little bit now. You've done some really big videos. I think I actually saw your videos. I think I first probably came on to you about like 4 or 5 years ago. I think I saw like some of your Pink Dolphin stuff. I think I even saw it on like Vimeo and then just started following you. So it was dope. Yeah, it was dope. But one of my favorite videos that you've done a lot of crazy ones, is I like the, tell me a little bit about that Quavo, Tyga, and Kamaya video. That one was fire.
Yeah, man. So like I said, it's about retaining these relationships. And Kamaya, you know what I'm saying? I met Kamaya before she was even Kamaya. She was like just coming up, like didn't have that hit record out and what didn't have her label deal. I was actually shooting her brother. It was when I first moved to LA. Like, bro, he was the first cat to ever give me $1,500 for a video. His name's Joe. Joe and Hot Boy Zay, they're her brothers. And so they all come drive down from the Bay, like, oh, we about Damian Sandoval. Like, we fuck with your work. I'm like, what work? Like, what the fuck have you guys seen? I didn't have nothing out, dog. Like, literally.
Yeah.
They come out, I give him a dope video. It was like an in-studio video. I spent like half the budget, like, renting the Quasar tubes with like the plugins, like having my gaffer spend like 2 hours trying to rig them up, put the gels on them. Like, bro, I was pumped, bro. I was I'm lit. So she comes out, you know what I'm saying? They show up with the Henny. We turn up a little bit. She's like, oh, I fuck with them. So long story short, like, I guess she goes back home to the Bay, makes a dope ass record, gets a label deal. And, you know, we shoot a couple videos and we kill them. And she's like, I fuck with you. Like, you're just good vibes. Like, I wasn't the best. Like, if I were her, I probably would have went to a few other directors here and there just to, you know, space things out or try someone new. But she kept it hella solid. And, like, we rocked, dog. Like, we did hella videos. So when she got her biggest one, she was like, I trust D. I know he'll get it done. Like, let's do it. Yep. Last minute video. Bro, I have a video lined up. Like, I'm shooting all the way in the desert, dog. Deep in the desert. And I get a call at like 6 p.m. like, hey, tomorrow we got to shoot, dog. Quavo, Tyga, Kamaya. I'm like, tomorrow? Dog, the budget was pretty big, bro. I'm not going to say the number, but it was up there, dog. It was in between the 50 to 100 range. So they're like, we need to pull this shit off by tomorrow. I'm like, damn, dog, that's like almost impossible. I'm in the desert. It's 6. We're shooting tomorrow. He's like, yeah. So I'm like, all right, we start getting on the phone call, making a million phone calls, no film permit. We got superstars pulling up, like, bro, it's dice rolling at this point. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, fucking renting Lambos, renting, building sets, like, bro, everything on the drop of a dime. And I have a shoot that next day. So I had to call and tell the girl, like, hey, like, you know, I'm really sorry, but like, I have an opportunity to shoot Quavo and, Tyga and Kamaya tomorrow. It's a really big look for me. I have to do this. But check this out. Not only did I get you a new director and a new DP to come out, I'm going to pay for your video. So I paid for the girl's video who I was supposed to shoot the next day. Gave her a free video. Got my good guys out there. They knocked it out. She was hella happy.
That's fine.
I go there. I shoot the video with Tyga, Kamaya, and Kamaya, Tyga, and Quavo. Shoot the video with him. It goes good. No hiccups throughout the day. Perfect video. I couldn't believe it. And shit, that's how it came about, man. And it was amazing, dog. And I thank Kamaya for life for that one, because that was a good look, man. That was a really good look. And, I paid for the behind the scenes out of my own pocket. Like, hey, you got to get this just so I could use the footage later. It was such a big look for me that I wanted to capture this, dog. I was damn near about to propose to my girl at the shoot there, but I didn't. I saved it for a special time. That's how fucking like of a moment it was for me to do this, like, first real big label video for me to do. And we did it and killed it. So
that's legendary. Yeah, that's sick. I also remember the one, it was pretty fire as well, the one that you did back in Oakland where you did it, I think, in front of the Fox Theater.
Yeah.
That one was fire too. Yeah.
That was actually my first label video. That was sick. My first one. And that was just such a special moment to be able to go back home, make the announcement on like Facebook and Instagram, like, I'm back home shooting at the Fox Theater. I need everyone to come out and support, bro. And like, literally, we had no budget for extras at all. And I was able to pull in like over 110 extras who come and like just show up. And it was just like, bro, it was like the most heartwarming like experience I've ever dealt with in this film game. Cause it was like, damn, like, these people really fuck with me, dog. Like, they're coming out to not even get paid. It's hella cold at night to be a part of this video. And it looks so good on camera, bro.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one came out fire. I got some questions here, but one thing I want to talk about is, you talk about like creativity and whatnot. Some of the videos that I see you pretty creative with is when you shoot with Dax. I see you kind of push the creativity a little bit with him. I saw you did some crazy one. You had like, was there a tank in it? I don't even remember.
There was a lot of shit. We had, Dax is a really fucking creative cat, and I can't take nothing away from him on this. Like, a lot of the ideas, like, he has. Like, he's really like the, you see him, you see how he rocks. Like, mm-hmm. the dude is down to push the boundary. So he comes to me with these ideas and I'm like, well, what if we twist it this way? What if we do it that way? And it man, like every time me and Dak shoot, like, bro, it's amazing, dog. He's the best. And then me and Dak's like, we'll do some creative ass shit, but then he'll hit me up one day and be like, hey, bro, I just need a one take video. Can you be in this parking lot real quick? And we'll just go knock out a crazy one take. Like, that's one thing. Yeah, I love Dax, bro. Dax,
his performances are fire, though, even just for, like, those one takes.
He's a real artist, bro. He's a real artist, and that's why I love that fool, dog. Like, he's one of my favorite, for sure.
That's dope. Yeah, I definitely think it's cool when you can link with an artist and take their creative advice when they actually have good ideas, too. Yeah. And you can actually, like, work together and create something together, you know, where it's not just an artist, like, kind of just throwing ideas at you and, like, just wanting it exactly how they want it, where they're actually able to take your input as well as a director.
Exactly.
Dope. So what do you got planned right now? I've been seeing you work on that film location, the pink garage. It's been looking crazy. I've been seeing you grinding on it.
Yeah, so you know, we got a really cool team working on it, and we got this crazy interior designer who's like an art guy out here. His name's Gunnar Durange. He's super dope, man. And We're doing the whole inside. The house was built in 68. It's sitting on some nice acres out there in like Joshua Tree, which is like the national park desert. It's beautiful. If you've never been there, Google it. It's like one of my favorite places in the world. So we bought a piece of property, me and BB the DP, because we understand this location game is a big game right now. So just to like get straight to the point, we bought a house and we're turning it into a film set where you can just go pull up and shoot these real vintage, timeless pieces. Like, it's meant for a specific genre. It's just not like, here, pull up to the studio and create something. Like, nah, it's already built out. We're trying to keep it very minimal, but to like prestige clients, like, and just make it real, like, unique. So we got that going, man. But, you know, with the whole COVID-19, it kind of slowed our things down. Our guy Gunner, he has, you know, respiratory issues, so we didn't want to push him to work on something. We said, hey man, you're an artist, the ball's in your court, let's get it done when you get it done. And so it's finally now coming together, and we're going to actually finish it May 26th through the 31st. It's the whole interior is going to be done, paint's getting slapped on, and we still got a lot more to do, but it'll be up and running by July 4th. Shit pushed us back. Yeah, it's a big project, bro. Stay tuned for that.
It's going to be sick. Yeah, I've been seeing the photos you've been posting. I saw you looking for the right shade of pink. I think you found the one from looking on Instagram. I definitely like the one you went with. It looked dope. That's funny. How many shades of pink did you go through?
We went through at least 26 or 27. It was up there. Like, we just, like, man, everything was pretty, like, I could go too into detail about this. I'm just going to just let you know, like, we found it, dog. It's
found
there.
It's dope. For sure. Fire, dude. Yeah, that definitely looks sick. I'm excited to see the final product and the interior design of it all. Just see some of the videos come out of there and see what people do with the space.
Yeah.
Is there some surprises that people can look forward to on it?
Oh,
got little secrets?
Well, we're in the middle of hosting a July 4th opening party. I've been in talks with a really, really big A-list artist about hosting like a little party there that's gonna have like shuttle buses from LA to out there every hour. And it's gonna be real exclusive. Like, but with this whole COVID shit, we're not sure if it's gonna go down or not. So
yeah,
just
yeah.
stay tuned. There's a lot of special shit coming down for that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
A lot of good marketing tactics for that one, for sure.
Cool. Yeah, let's see what other questions I got here. Let's check out. Oh yeah, so I got this last question that I wrote. So one thing that I see you also post on Instagram is you talk a lot about like having experiences, traveling and all this stuff, versus copping like material things like Lambos, all these extra things. How do you feel like that's influenced your work, your creativity, and how those experiences kind of helped you out? Do you feel like they have, or?
Yeah, definitely, man. Traveling, you get experience with the cultures, you see different things, you feel different ways, you taste different, you enhance all your, like, you know, senses. So traveling is definitely probably the number one thing that has shaped me to be me, who I am. Like, dog, like, I went to the favelas in Brazil and there's shit, like human shit flowing down the street. Like they don't have sewer systems, doggy. So like shit like that, like I think about when I think something's bad, I'm like, oh no, I'm good, happy again. Like today I just posted something on my IG, like it was me holding Starbucks in like downtown and it's the lighting's hitting perfect. And I'm just saying like, bro, like I'm so thankful I'm not in jail doing life in prison, because it, bro, shit happens, bro. People make mistakes and they're there for life, and like you have to be grateful for like the littlest things. So traveling, like that's what shaped my mind to think like that. So I recommend anyone travel, you know, all that designer shit, dog, like it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It is a good look and sometimes you can influence people in ways if you're wearing it, but like overall, like I wouldn't recommend getting it, dog. Like shit gets old hella quick. Like how many things have you bought that you've loved that just become old because you don't really love it quick? So that's what that shit. Travel, dog. Anywhere you can go. But right now with the whole COVID shit, you never know. Shit's on slow mo. That's why I'm glad I did it while I could.
Yep. Yeah, but now you could travel for cheap, but it's a little sketchy.
Dice roll.
if you got good health and you're young, yeah, you might be fine. I've seen some people doing it, but
that's a whole topic. Yeah,
that's a whole nother topic. Yeah, but I think that's a good perspective to have. Is just kind of keep that, especially like when I first started this, like when I used to just work like a regular job. I used to work at In-N-Out Burger. Was grinding there, and then started doing music videos. Started doing it like my full time thing, just run and gun videos.
Yeah.
And just definitely even just thinking, like, I even worked at McDonald's for a little bit. That was horrible. Wow. So just seeing like, I mean, it's not even like, I'm sure people have it way worse, but just thinking like I'm getting paid to do something that's like actually enjoyable. And there's people working full days of work, you know? So.
Oh, for real.
I think
you're just getting started too, bro. You're a young bull. You know, this is the first interview I've done. Like, I wouldn't just give this to anyone. I've been hit up.
I appreciate that, man. I know we've been talking for a minute.
I had to bring it back to the Bay. That was the first thing. And, you know, I like your style and I like what you guys are doing at Cinepax. And, like, bro, like, I use that shit. Man, I just did this little, I did the little Uzi single in Philly like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Bro, I think Andy told me, but he saw that. He saw a little piece of edit you sent.
Yeah,
he said
it looks fire. So, yeah, and I just did the one with G Herbo and a little Uzi. That one, like, bro, it's just looking good, man. That Cinepax shit saved my life on a couple edits, bro.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate that. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to push things. We want to make it easier for people, but we also want to push people to manipulate them, give them the tools. And we want to drop the free packs too. That's what we've been trying to do, is drop some free assets, and we see them everywhere. It's just sprinkled throughout. Yeah. So we got something, we got a contest plan coming up soon. It's going to be pretty sick. We're going to direct a video, but this is exclusive. We haven't even talked about this yet, but we're going to direct a video. We're going to drop all the raw footage online and people are going to be able to edit. We've done this before, but we're going to do it to a little more extreme. We're going to have some fire ass footage in there, a bunch of free packs. You can use payment. You can use whatever you want. We did this last year, but we're going to take it to the next level. So it's going to be cool. We're going to, because I feel like that's like when I was starting out, I wanted to edit, like, especially if you want to get into editing, like it's cool being able to check out like red footage or like footage that was shot on a Steadicam or just something that's lit well, you know?
Yeah, no, facts, man. That's dope, man. I'm excited to see that.
It's going to be sick.
That's going to be sick, dog.
I got a few Instagram questions for you people who tuned in a little bit.
Let's get it.
The boy Hatch. So who's got the best ice in Hawaii? That's a little insider. Here we go. Alex DP Films. How do you get your first big artist? How was your first time meeting with record labels?
The way you're going to get a big artist, man. I mean, there's so many different ways to go about it, but I think the easiest, best way, dog, is to probably just hit them on the gram, dog, like through their DM, and have like a nice little resume on your page, bro. Try to keep your IG page about your work, dog, if you're really serious, because that shit's a big business tool. You could just DM them and be like, hey, I'll shoot your video for free, build that relationship, and then shit, go from there, dog. Like, that's a great way to really level up.
Exactly.
And how do you start working with labels? Shit, through that artist. That artist is gonna start, they're like, hey, like, I want to fuck with them for my video. It doesn't matter what treatment you guys got, like, I'm rocking him. Let's get it. So.
Never be on private. I see too many young directors on private. Or
too many, dog. Too many.
Too many. All right, let's move on. Levy wants to know, moving to LA soon. He's friends with BB and Justin Jones. He said, can I be your friend too?
Yeah, 100%, dog. I'm open arms to anyone who grinds hard. Like, shit, if you're a grinder, let's get it, though. Like, let's fucking move. But if you're, like, sitting back, relaxing, like, nah, dog, because I'm here to do some dope shit. But yeah, if you're homies with BB and Justin, those are both really dope DPs, dog. Mm-hmm. Like, those are grade A cats. So
yes,
that's
sir.
What's up, bro. Let's link.
Lucas Zambrono Films wants to know thoughts on people who undercharge for quality work.
I'm not mad at you, bro. It's a competitive market, and you gotta fucking understand that, dog. If you're over here mad because the next person's making a move, like, bro, like, you're worried about the wrong thing, dog. Like, keep shit moving how you move. Like, bro, I was just thinking about it today. Like, people are saying, oh, it's this economic crisis. Oh, shit's happening now because the world's changing. Bro, right now, over the next 12 to like 24 months, is like, there's more opportunity in this time for anybody to get it. Like, so many things are gonna change, bro. Mm-hmm. There's like, Uber just laid off 25% of their employees. If you wanted to start a rideshare company, boom, do that. That's what my boy MP just told me today. It's like, there's so many little hustles, bro, that are gonna be created for the future. Like, right now, if you're worried about the next man, bro, like, you're tripping, dog. You gotta stay focused on you, your family, your goals, and just overall, just getting it, dog. So don't worry about the small fools undercharging. Like, that shit shouldn't even bother you, dog.
No.
Keep moving, man.
Focus on your quality, I think, and just focus on yourself.
Yeah, you're good.
No, yeah, I agree. Kayla Nicole wants to know how to get clients with no portfolio. People never even let me test to shoot.
Well, Kayla, you gotta off top, the first thing you gotta do, you gotta have that business page. Don't get too personal on your Instagram. Don't post photos of you. Post photos of your work. Like, you have to build that portfolio. You don't have one because you haven't made one. You have to go out there. You have to do some test shots, and you have to start building your page, even if you're not getting any likes. Like, just don't worry about that. Just post so you could have a resume and start building with people. And then when you start doing your work for the clients, have them tag you, and then you'll start gaining more and more little followers as they come. They'll trickle in, dog. So you just got to build your portfolio and not make it so much about yourself if you like reach out to these people. From your business account.
I love it. That's fire. She's got one more. Is credit from the artist more important or the pay for the video?
Well, it depends. Like, you know, like, ultimately, I would say you got to get the pay because you got to have to get money to do shoots is very important because you want to get lighting, you want to get all these things, and you don't want to burn people out. You don't want to ask people to do things for free over and over, because then you become a liability and not an asset, whereas if you're putting money in people's pockets. So the money is very important to me because I'm able to pay my guys who come out there and work, and they're not going to feel like, oh man, fuck this. Like, he's going to move slow with the lighting. Like, I want him to feel good. Like, oh, I'm getting my money for sure. I'm going to do this and do it right. Like, let's just get to the fucking, to the point and make sure everything's good. Like, money's very important, but the credit is fucking big too, but like, not as big as the money. Get the money for sure.
Yeah. So do you recommend getting the money for yourself or putting your crew on and maybe taking a pay cut to level up that production?
Take a pay cut. A pay cut's, you know, I've taken pay cuts on multiple things to make things happen. Like the Tyga Quavo video, I took a pay cut on that just because it was so last minute, like having to pay like premium fees for people last minute.
Sure,
like shit starts eating the budget, but you're like, wait, I really need that jib crane, dog. Like, I don't care. I'll pay for it out of my own pocket because it's gonna look good on the behind the scenes photos. It's gonna make a really good shot. Like, it's just, it makes shit look bigger than it is. And when you're dealing with Quavo and Tyga, like if they're showing up to set and they're seeing like a full handheld with like a couple weak lights, it's like, I might give you a take or two. But if the shit's looking juicy and, you know, sets are built and techno cranes are out there and steady cams are on B cam, it's like, oh, this is some fly shit. I feel good. Let's get it. There's a nice craft table. So you want to set that hospitality at all costs as well. You want to make sure your artist is walking in there and taking what they're doing serious. So
I like that. I definitely think behind the scenes too, even starting on early on, is super just important, just to document what you're doing so other people can kind of visualize what you're doing and kind of, you know, I think promoting yourself is one of the biggest things that you can do in the beginning as well. It's just,
yeah,
just,
no, you're your business.
It's branding.
Dog. Branding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite little Instagram, memes is, it's like, it's a shirt and it's like a plain white t-shirt and it's like $5. And then underneath, it's another plain white t-shirt, but with the Gucci logo. And it's like $2,000. And then the caption underneath is like Business Insider. It's important to brand yourself. Like,
exactly.
Some funny ass shit, bro. Yeah. But it's like, bro, it's so true. You have to brand yourself. Like how riveting, what I was talking about earlier, like you go to riveting, you know you're gonna get a polished video. Like when people associate your name with something, it shouldn't be like, oh, you're gonna go get a deal with Damien. It's like, no, you're gonna get a quality video from Damien. Like, so that's why I push so hard on some of the budgets to pay my crew and do things, you know, because they got to get done right.
I like that. Dope, dude. I think you definitely dropped a lot of gems in this one. I think there's tons of value in this. People got to go check out your course soon once it's out. Is there anything that we should be looking forward to? We got more videos coming.
Man, look out for me, dog. Like, I'm going to be honest, bro, before we end it, dog. Like, a lot of these artists, they're real now to the point where they're getting fluffed around, like they're getting treated real gentle. And me, I'm in the war right now. I'm in the grind. I'm ready to make some dope shit. So I'm working on a movie, a comedy coming soon to LA, featuring a lot of dope cats like Blueface. I'm trying to get Wiz to be in it. So just stay tuned, dog. A real comedy's coming to you soon, dog. Netflix premiere, Prime, who knows?
Say, all right, guys. Check out all the links down below. Damien's going to be linked. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We'll catch you next time on the Cinepax Podcast.
Peace. All right, bro. Love you, bro.